Hey guys, this is Pastor Neil. I just want to say thank you so much for joining us today on this podcast. Hey, would you do us a huge favor today? Would you subscribe, like, or leave us a review wherever you get this content? It really helps us reach other people with the gospel. Also, we would love to see you at our campus on a Sunday morning. We meet at 1010 South Bowie Drive in Weatherford, Texas. You can check out our service times and more information about the church on our website, waterhousechurch.com. Check us out on Facebook or any other social media sites that you may have. We would love to see you. I pray that today you are renewed, restored, refreshed, and that your spirit comes alive. Now here is today's message.
And we get to have an amazing guest co-speaker today. We have a church plant, Iron Faith Church, and Pastor BJ is going to be reading our scripture for us. If you would stand.
Thank y'all. So we're going to be Genesis chapter 26, starting verse 1. A severe famine now struck the land, as had happened before in Abraham's time. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of the Philistines, lived. The Lord appeared to Isaac and said, "Do not go down to Egypt, but do as I tell you. Live here as a foreigner in this land, and I will be with you, and I will bless you. I hereby confirm that I will give all these lands to you and your descendants, just as I solemnly promised Abraham your father. I will cause your descendants to become as numerous as the stars of the sky, and I will give them all these lands. And through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I will do this because Abraham listened to me and obeyed all my requirements, commands, decrees, and instructions." So Isaac stayed in Gerar. Jump down to verse 12. "When Isaac planted his crops that year, he harvested 100 times more grain than he planted." Amen. "For the Lord blessed him. He became a very rich man, and his wealth continued to grow. He acquired so many flocks of sheep and goats and herds of cattle and servants that the Philistines became jealous of him. So the Philistines filled up all the Isaac's wells with dirt. These were the wells that had been dug by the servants of his father Abraham. Finally, Abimelech ordered Isaac to leave the country. Go somewhere else, he said, for you have become too powerful for us. So Isaac moved away to the Gerar Valley, where he set up his tents and settled down. He reopened his wells. He reopened the wells his father had dug, which the Philistines had filled in after Abraham's death. Isaac also restored the names Abraham had given them. Isaac's servants also dug in the Gerar Valley and discovered a well of fresh water. But then the shepherds from Gerar came and claimed the spring. This is our water, they said, and they argued over it with Isaac's herdsmen. So Isaac named the well Ezek, which means argument. Isaac's men then dug another well, but began there was a dispute over it. So Isaac named it Sidnah, which means hostility. Abandoned that one, Isaac moved on and dug another well. This time there was no dispute over it, so Isaac named the place Rehobah, which means open space. For he said, at last the Lord has created enough space for us to prosper in the land. For there Isaac moved to Beersheba, where the Lord appeared to him on the night of his arrival. I am the God of your father Abraham, he said. Do not be afraid, for I am with you and will bless you. I will multiply your descendants, and they will become a great nation. I will do this because of my promise to Abraham, my servant. Then Isaac built an altar there and worshiped the Lord. He set up his camp at this place, and his servants dug another well. Let's pray. Lord, right now, I pray that if anybody in here, Lord, feels like they're just digging and digging, Lord, that they know that there is a mighty fresh spring that you have in store for them, Lord. Lord, if you have called them to do something, Lord, your promises do not come back void. So, Lord, we love you and we thank you. Just have your hand in this service. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Just laid me up here, huh? Yeah, he did.
Good morning. Good morning. Such a great prayer, BJ. I think that's all we need. We can go home, right? No, today's going to be a little different. So BJ, if you don't know who BJ is, he's been a part of our church for a very long time. He was a board member before I was even lead pastor here. He was a board member when I became lead pastor. But we saw God something doing through a Bible study he was leading. It was growing. It was becoming fruitful. And they had some people that could lead worship. And then in the Bible study, I'm going to let you tell the story a little bit. But just kept growing. And we said, hey, maybe God's doing something bigger than just a Bible study here or just a service. Maybe God's wanting to launch a church out of y'all. And so in 2020, long story short, we launched Iron Faith Biker Church out of Waterhouse Church. Sometimes people come on Sunday morning looking for the biker church. And then sometimes in the evening, I'm sure you have other people looking for Waterhouse. So, but they are in our facility. They use our facility at 5 o'clock on Sunday nights. But God's been good. God's been so such a blessing for them. There's some changes that they've done, but they've also had an opportunity to purchase some property. And so that's why we're here today. We're talking about helping them get to where God wants them to be. Today I'm going to share my heart with you about the church. Maybe you don't know what Waterhouse is about. If you're new here, if you are a member and you've been here for a while, this is just a reminder of what God's called us to do as a body of believers. This is something that's on our heart. We are called to go and plant. We are called to go and send. I said this in the first service, and I mean it now. Like, we're not empire builders. We don't want to build this huge, massive empire when we want to build the kingdom of God. And that, what that means is we're going out and we're planting churches, and they don't have our name on it. We send people out, and we send them to churches that need it. We send them to people that need it. Why? Because it's about the kingdom. It's not about us. And when we launched Iron Faith, it wasn't Waterhouse Church Biker Church or Waterhouse Church whatever. It was Iron Faith. That didn't rhyme good anyway, right? That sound good anyway. But it was Iron Faith Biker Church because God wanted to do something through them. And you're going to hear some really cool stories about that. And so why we picked this passage is really it's about starting new works that God's called us to do. Maybe today we're talking about the church planting world, but we're also talking today to you because maybe God's called you to do something and you're having difficulty. Maybe God's called you to do something and you're fearful because you don't really know if you can do what God's called you to do. It seems like there's a famine in your household right now. It's like, I don't have the money, I don't have the resources, I don't have the talent, I don't have the ability, but I'm telling you, if God's called you to do something, when you step out, it's going to be like when Isaac planted in that famine. When you sow, when you step out in faith and do what God's called you to do in that moment, it may seem impossible, but God's going to give you 100 times fold in that labor because God called you to it. He's going to make it fruitful. It's not on us, right? And so I'm going to ask some questions to BJ, and we're going to talk through this passage together. And as we do this, it's going to be an open forum. So as we planted Iron Faith in 2020 was a great year, by the way. Nothing happened that year. We renamed the church. We launched Iron Faith the same year. The thing about launching Iron Faith out is we gave up a lot of people for them to go and plant. And we barely had any people at the time in the first place. But we felt like God was doing something. And so the first time we launched, we said, hey, we want you to give financially to Iron Faith. And if you feel called to go and help Iron Faith, then you can go with them. And several people did. They went with Iron Faith, and they helped out, and some are still serving faithfully. And it's been a good journey for 6 years. But in that time where we didn't have anything to give, we gave what we have, and God made it fruitful. It's such a beautiful thing. And here's the thing I know is that in these times of drought, in these times of famine, in these times where we don't feel like we have anything, we often kind of retreat to the easy thing. Because it says that there was a famine and Isaac wanted to go to Egypt. And for you and for me and even for BJ, Egypt is a place of comfort. Egypt is a place where things are easy or things are familiar. But I'm telling you, God has called us not to go to familiar things. He's called us to go to do his things, to kingdom things. And you may be sitting right here right now and you may be thinking, man, I think I just want to go back to Egypt. Egypt is not where the harvest is. Egypt is where you go to die, That's not where you go to thrive. And when you're going through hard times, you just want to go back to Egypt. And when Iron Faith launched, BJ had every excuse to not do what God's asked him to do. He could have stayed in Egypt, but he chose to step out into what God's called him to do. So the question I have for you is, like, when we launched the church, when you launched the church together, what reasons or why didn't it make sense at that time? Like, what excuses did you have?
So some of the big excuses, see, like many of y'all are probably raised in church. I was not raised in church, okay? I didn't start going to church till I was probably about 15 or so, and I only went for the girl. Y'all laugh, but that's true. She's now my wife sitting back there.
Yep.
But that's the reason why I went. I figured it out. Guys, here's the secret. If you want to see the girl more, go to church with them. Okay? You can see them on Wednesdays, Sundays, sometimes twice on Sunday. Okay? Yeah. Parents, they'll love you more. They'll accept you more. Just telling you guys. That was probably one of the big things. I wasn't raised in church. I never dreamed of being a pastor. I was content with a Bible study that we started out of our house. Okay. It grew too big for our house, so we moved up here on a Thursday evening. Started doing that. My work schedule changed. I worked a full-time job. I still work a full-time job. I was a school officer. It's funny seeing some of the students in here. Yeah, but there's a lot of hours involved in that because you work all the games and stuff after hours and stuff. We shared it earlier. For y'all that don't know, my wife does have some health issues. That's almost another full-time job. So there was a lot of reasons I could have said, no, you know, I don't have the time, Lord, to do this, nor do I have the will. I don't know why you're calling me, but I'll tell you though, if you'll answer the call and not fight him on it, it's a whole lot easier. It's a whole lot easier.
Amen. And I'm so glad you did because, you know, I have such respect for BJ. I see how he lives his life. How he takes care of his family, he takes care of his wife. He is well known in the community. He is loved in the community. As far as I know, you're loved
by
in the community.
By most people.
He works for the constable, you know. Now, sometimes he's welcome, sometimes he's not. But just to see how he lives his life, and how he loves people, and how he just makes it through and spends time with his family. And spend time with things important. He also, right now, I think you believe you serve on the Pister Board of ISD School Board. Okay. So he's in the community. He's making a difference. And he could easily stay in Egypt. He could have said, you know what? My wife's sick. I got to spend time making sure that is laid down and that is made sure that that's taken care of. I don't have time for the school board. I don't have time to do this extra stuff with the sheriff's department. I don't have time to lead a church. I'm going to do what's comfortable. I'm going to do what's easy, but it's not easy. I'm not going to say it's easy. I'm going to do what's comfortable, what makes sense, and I'm going to stay home and just do this. But God called him to something different, and he said, Lord, I'll go. I'll put in the hard work. I'll put in the sacrifice because I know that you've called me to this. And this is our mentality. Like, we do things that are hard even though it doesn't make sense. When God leads you to do something, you need to do it. And have faith that God's going to make you, give you what you need to do it. This is the great commission that God's called us to do, right? It says, go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, right? Baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the commands that I've given to you. And then it's this promise on the end. This is why we know that we can do the hard things that God's called us to do. He says, and though I will be with you,
amen,
until the end of the days. It's because Christ is with us that we can do all these hard things. And I know, BJ, I can't imagine the times you've had with the Lord saying, okay, Lord, are you really with me? But he's been with you. And it's so good to see that, you know. And the thing I've also learned in this process with you is it's kind of like when Isaac was going out and he was fruitful in a famine. And God has been so fruitful with you guys. With God, what God's doing, and here's kind of what he's doing. I have some pictures we're going to show up, so I'm warning the Pro Presenter people today. We're going to be all over the place. Keep up with us, if you will. God has called us to harvest, right? And so this is the new place. So I guess tell me about where you're going to be.
So if you look at the corner of Common Street and Tremont, you'll see the two brown rooftops that look exactly the right, the same color. That is the building that we are fixing to purchase, okay? What you see below it right here, that's just these streets with no homes, is a new housing addition going in right there. It's just, so we're right above that on a hill. Right across the street where you see all the green and red trees, that is another subdivision that's being cut currently right now. The cool thing is where you see Common Street run right into Tremont, right now, that is on the map to be an entrance into that new subcommittee or subdivision. There we go, subdivision. And so we'll have people coming out there. They'll come out on First Street. So if they want to go down to one of the main feeder roads there at Tremont and Upper Denton, they'll have to drive right past the church. Amen. And we didn't know about the new addition or anything. Of course, we knew about the one that was there that's not developed yet. But just a couple weeks ago, it was before the city to be approved. So I guess they can start building there now. Awesome. Amen.
Yeah, there's already a subdivision that's kind of already got some stuff in the ground. Goodnight Trail, Duff yep. Street, Dyer. So this is on the northeast side of town. Many of you have lived in Weatherford for a long time. You know what I'm talking about when I say Harburger Hill. Okay, some of you that are new, you have no idea what Harburger or a hill is, right?
I told my kids that. How many of y'all been here a while in Weatherford area? How many of y'all went to Harburger Hill to get the free shots? Right there,
and
that's
the
my
cheese.
People. Y'all know exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's the community center of Weatherford. And on top of that hill is the original water tower, water source for the community. And so it's just right down the road. And so I just kind of find it, you know, like, hey, we're kind of close to water tower, so it's kind of cool. But I love that it's central to what new neighborhoods are going in here. There's new neighborhoods here. You're like right in the middle. You are ripe for the harvest. I saw this, and I saw the development that's going in with Goodnight Trail. They already have the little pipes going up that carry all the utilities to those homes that they're going to put in. And as I saw that, this passage came to mind. It was John 4:35. It says, "Do not say there are 4 months, then the harvest comes. Look, I tell you to lift your eyes and see the fields are white for harvest." You see the little white pop, the white pipes pumping up there? They're white for harvest.
Man.
I thought, man, these are going to be homes coming in, families coming in. Like, they will need to know Jesus, and they're going to be there, and is super excited for what he has for them. And he goes, "Already the one who reaps is receiving the wages of gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and reaper may rejoice together. For the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." And I love that we get to partner with Iron Faith. We're sowing, they're reaping, but we all get the joy in the harvest. This is what God's called the church to do. Like, one person may sow, another person may reap, but the kingdom is growing and the kingdom advancing. And that's why, man, I'm just so excited about what God's going to do in this and through this endeavor. And we're so excited about it. In this story, Isaac, okay, the famine happens. He wants to go to Egypt. God tells him, no, stay here in Gerar. And so as they stay, they sow and they reap that same year. But then there's some issues that arise, right? There's some hostility and argument that arises. There's the Philistines coming in and plugging up the wells that Isaac is trying to go back to his father's wells. And let me tell you, when you start stepping out into what God wants you to do, when you start stepping out in faith, there's going to be resistance. I know they've experienced it. We've experienced it. And even the church experiences it. And the cool thing about Iron Faith is when they go into that territory, they're digging up a well that's been dug a long time ago, and the enemy has somehow stopped it up. And as a church, we're called to dig new wells. We're called to dig old wells. We're also called to dig new wells, and we do this for church planning and revitalizing these churches that are dying and dead. And this is our heart, because the enemy has shut up the water in those communities. That church used to be called the Rock of Helps. And I remember it because when I was a kid, I think I went there once with my mom. Just odd memory that popped in my head just now. But it was once thriving. It was once useful in the kingdom. And somehow they lost their way and they dwindled down. And they had this empty building that was just sitting there. And guys, the church is not a building. That building is just wood and brick and things like that. The church is the people in it. And now, like, we get to use that facility. They get to use that facility to go in and revitalize that community again with a gospel representation of Jesus Christ. And it's so, so awesome and so beautiful.
Man.
And like I said, when you try to walk into what God has for you, there's hostility, and then there's also argument. And so I'm sure, like, in this five-year process that we've been walking through with Iron Faith and you, you've never had any argument or any hostility at all.
Never. No. No. No.
Yeah, see, like I said, anytime you want to do something for the Lord, there's going to be the enemy is going to come in and try to work problems. Now, these guys that were going behind, that were arguing with Isaac's men, they were saying, these are our wells. This is our water source, right? And so they would have to move on to something else to find it. And there kept being hostility. There kept being arguments until they finally found a good place. And I've heard this more than once. When a church comes into Parker County or a church comes into the area, that they are told by other pastors in the community, we don't need you here. We don't need another church. And what they're saying is like, these are my people I have to reach. That's hostility. And I'm telling you, this church isn't big enough to, I mean, look, they can't fit everybody in Parker County. Are you serious? Like, it takes multiple houses,
man,
to house the people of God and to train them up like God's called us to do. And so we feel the hostility. Anytime God wants to do something through people, we feel it from the outside, but we also feel it on the inside, because anytime you start moving towards something, there's always argument inside the house. Anytime there's a vision shift or a change, there's always argument inside the house. We've experienced it, especially with the building project, and now you're experiencing it. I mean, you have experienced it all through this time, because that just comes with the territory. But I guess tell me, how has that kind of arose, and what kind of issues? Yeah.
You know, some of the biggest issues, how many of y'all like changes? How many of y'all like change? Just love change. A couple of y'all just love change, just thrive on change. Some people don't. Okay. Or they'll question. Or they'll throw the what ifs in there. And that's what you get a lot of times, the what ifs. What if we don't have enough money? We're really comfortable here at Waterhouse. For y'all that don't know, we meet here at 5 o'clock every Sunday. We walk in. The worship team plugs in, we play, we pretty much lock up and go home, and we're done until next Sunday. So people start looking at, what if we don't have enough money to make our payment, pay the utilities? What if we don't have enough people? And we start playing the what-if game, because that's what the devil wants you to play, is the what-if game. And then, I know y'all haven't experienced anything with the city.
No.
No. No. No. Well, this is in the city limits too. So this is an established church. So it's been in the city since the 60s, same place. And so, but evidently when you buy something new and you're the new owner, the city wants you to bring everything up to the current code, which includes an actual parking lot, a curb, 6 trees, 250 plants. Okay, so then you start like, oh, can we do that? Can we do that? So there's a lot of that, you know, doubt that starts creeping in of like, are we taking on too much? And here's the deal. I truly believe God will never give you too much. He'll give you some to stretch you, to say, I'm in this with you, to let you grow when this process is taking place.
Yeah. That's good. Yeah, we've experienced that as well. And it's like, really? How many trees do we need? How many bushes do we need? And it has to be your bushes and your trees that you plant. And it's like, are you serious? But that's just where we live. And we want to honor where we're at. And we feel called to Weatherford. They feel called right now to that area. And so we have to play ball. And so this is kind of the tension we've had even with our building project.
Right.
And, you know, like I told you guys, and this is usually Bridge the Gap Sunday.
It's the last Sunday of the month where we take up an offering for the building project, give it updates. And a few months ago, we laid the plans on the altar. And we said, Lord, this is your project. You knew all this stuff was going to happen. God, we right now, we step back and we say, God, what do you want us to do? And since that time, we've put some plans in motion. We've gotten some advice. We've planned to get more advice. And we're meeting with the board and with the board, with the elders next month to discuss some plans that we have in the future. You know, one of it is how do we pay off the debt that we already have, that we're throwing money down a hole every month, you know, because of what we've already used to build some of the stuff we have here. And then also, is this building even what we need, right? The blueprint we have, is it big enough, or do we not need that much? And so part of that is we're working on getting a committee together to kind of reevaluate what we have as a building, what we need in the community, what God's called us to, and to also give us recommendations on how that is. We're still forming that. We still have to discuss it. We have the blueprints for it. But that's kind of what's in the works, because I promised, as we all promised on that meeting day, it's like, we're going to get advice. We're going to step back and ask the Lord what he wants to do, and we're going to do this thing right and move forward. And that's what we're attempting to do. It's slow, but it's good, because I'd rather move slow and right than fast and wrong. Okay. And so this is what we're doing. So I appreciate your patience with this, but today's not about us. Today's about Iron Faith and God, what God wants to do through us. And so here's the cool thing about this. Go ahead and put up the pictures of the building. So this is the old facility, Rock of Helps. This is what, you know, this is the new hotness over here. Remember this, right? It's new hotness. Iron Faith Church, iron sharpens iron, right? So that's part of that. Then we have another picture of what it's going to look like once they get the 6 trees and 250 plants in there and the City of Weatherford Station rocks and all the things they need. And so it's a great facility, because that's a growing side of town, and it's going to look nice. People want to come to the facility, but it's not what the facility is. It's who's in the facility that makes it beautiful.
Amen.
And this is a beautiful congregation. I just love them, love what God has in store for them. And I truly believe that's what God wants us to do as a church, to help you guys get there. And so there's going to be tensions, right? And we have to walk through those tensions. This picture of this revitalization of this building reminds me of the story when Isaac goes and they redig the wells that Abraham dug, and they rename them, right? They name them the original name where it was supposed to be. God, in his sovereignty, when this thing was planted in the 70s, God had a work for that side of town. And for whatever reason, that well was dammed up. But now Iron Faith gets to go in and reestablish that well. And we get as a church to go reestablish that well. That's our heart. That's what we want to do. And even as a church, we want to go and plant churches. We want to go and send people to these places. And often when you have this hostility, when you have this argument, when you hit hard things, it makes you take a step back and reevaluate. But it also puts a little fire in your belly, because the Lord reminds you of the promise that he's made through you. And maybe you're coming up against tension, and you're coming up against hostility and argument, and there's hard times coming, and you want to run to Egypt, but God in that moment will remind you of the promise and the vision in your life. And I pray right now, maybe God's dealing with you, and you're having a hard time, and you're losing your vision. Take a step back and ask the Lord, God, show me the vision again. Because when we had this issue with the building, it made me take a step back. It made all of us take a step back. And it was in those moments I went back to my old journals and I looked at all the things. And I said, okay, what were we supposed to do, God, when you called us to be Waterhouse Church? And I found this drawing. I shared it on Vision Sunday. You love my beautiful handwriting and my beautiful artwork. This is the vision for Waterhouse. It's about drawing in and sending out, plain and simple. What God does in us, God does through us. And not only that, we're called as a church to plant. Like I said, we're not building empires, we're building the kingdom. And so we're going out and planting. Things don't have to have our name on it. Multi-site, because what I put in there, water has its own flavor. How many of you live in the city of Weatherford? You know the flavor of city of Weatherford water, right? Where's there? Yeah, I'm going to send them some permits and regulations. Like, you need to get this straight, right? But it has its own flavor. You go to Iron Faith
That's
Church. Yeah, its own flavor. You go to Iron Faith Church, they got their own flavor, man. I'm telling you. You come here, it's our own flavor. You go any church, it's different. Why? Because God made it that way. Because certain people will come to those places and come to those people and be reached. And we need diversity. We need different. And we need more churches. We need more houses where people can come and meet. And so we see this, that God's using all of this to happen. And I'm going to have you share that story a minute ago about the gentleman that came in. Actually, I'll have you share it now. Because they're different. And because they're different, they were able to reach people for God. So I'm kind of jumping ahead here. But go and share that story.
So we just started meeting here not too long after we started meeting on Sunday evenings here. For y'all that's been coming a while, before they redid the parking lot stuff, there was motorcycle parking out here in the front by the road. And that's where we'd park our motorcycles and stuff. And when a gentleman, and we didn't know it at the time until we talked to him, he drove past and he was actually heading to kill his wife and her boyfriend at the same location. Y'all heard me right, wife and boyfriend, okay? But he went down, and he turned around down here, and he come back, and he drove like around like two or three times making the loop right here on South, but coming back on the buoy past the church. And he's seen a couple guys out there in the parking lot, and he pulls in, and he just sits there, just sitting in the parking lot. So they go out to talk to him. He begins to share what he was fixing to go do and why he was going to do it, and he just shares his heart with them. Well, eventually, right before the service ended, they were able to get him to come in here into the church, and we were able to pray with him after service and talk with him and meet with him, and he started coming to church. He did not go kill his wife or her boyfriend, okay? The cool thing is that over time, he was able to rebuild his relationship with his daughter that lived out of town, and I believe she lived in Tyler or East Texas somewhere, and he would go and visit her, and it was finally having a relationship with her again. Tragically, though, he had a four-wheeler accident while he was out seeing his daughter. He was put in a hospital, and he eventually passed away. But I think just because we were here at 5 o'clock, motorcycles in the parking lot, something he could relate to, he came in here. He may have not known why he was stopping, but we know why he was stopping. And at the end, yes, it was tragic that he lost his life. But he didn't lose his life before giving his life to Christ, which is the most important thing. Amen? That was the most important thing that he did. And that's a huge win. Those are the times that God reminds you, this is why I have called you to do what I've called you to do.
That's beautiful. I remember when he started coming to their church, they were pretty new as a church plant. And he would drive up in his motorcycle, and he had two flags on it. One of them had an obscenity on it. And we had a neighbor contact us through email. And I think our church at that time says, we love basically giving people love, you know, the love of Jesus expressed. And she used that against us. And she said, if you really want people to feel the love of Jesus, then you'll tell that guy to take those flags down off his bike. Right, because I shouldn't have to see that when I drive through the neighborhood. And I just sent the email back, and I said, well, just help me pray for this man, because he needs Jesus. And you don't know what people's, you know, what's going on in people's hearts. And often, you know, often we want people to change immediately when they come to the door. Like, you got to have it all straight. You got to dress like us, act like us, walk like us, talk like us. Know all the words. You know, we sing Yeshua, and you're probably like, who is Yeshua? Right? That's kind of like, that's insider knowledge. Right, which is Jesus. It's just the Hebrew word for Jesus. But people who come to faith, they don't know this stuff. And often we as a church, we put expectations on people while God's working on their soul. And we tell them, well, you got to be here already. Well, they're still beginning. God's undoing a lot of stuff in their life. And you have to be patient with these people while they're growing in faith. God's doing the sanctification. And with this man, he came, he got baptized in Iron Faith. And guess what? The flags eventually came off the bike.
Man.
Why? Heart change. He encountered Jesus. And his life changed forever. And I do believe that he is in heaven right now.
Man.
But it was God drawing him to a different flavor of water that he could drink from. And since this time, you guys have changed the name.
We have changed the name.
Not hugely, right?
Right.
But they have taken Biker Church off the end of it because they really are a church for everybody.
Yep.
And often, sometimes, I don't want to steal your thunder, but sometimes people come, you know, I don't have a bike. Can I be in your church? Right? Yep. And so I'll just kind of let you explain why that changed and what your new direction is. And I'll let you give a little bit of your vision for Iron Faith.
So, like Neil was saying, we started off as Iron Faith Biker Church. And it was because we were doing a biker Bible study. So it only made sense that we started Biker Church, right? And for that season, it was great. It was great. It was a season. But over the years now, we've seen Iron Faith change. And it's either we can change with the change or we can try to hold to what we originally started off. But if you do that and God's trying to move you into a different direction, then you're fighting against him. You won't win. Okay? And then so it was funny. It's one of those things when I brought it to the church to say, hey, we're going to get rid of Biker and just be Iron Faith Church. I was figuring we'd get some resistance. We really didn't. So I was like, okay, that's a win. That's a win. Other people are seeing it because we did have a lot of people coming in. The way we're headed, do you have that picture of the outpost? There you go. It's already up there. Look at that. He's how fast they are. Okay. I believe, how many of y'all have what you want to do, and then there's what God wants you to do? Amen. Amen? Yeah. Yeah. Trust me. We've looked at other pieces of property. I thought we found the property several years ago. It was out in Peaster, set up on a hill. Man, you could see for miles. That door closed fast. And it was like, okay, Lord, that wasn't it. And then we rocked along for a time. Another place come open. And then you get a phone call. And it says, hey, I seen this building for sale. It says for sale by owner. I'm like, okay. So I go and I call and come to find out. I knew the pastor that was there, his dad was one of the original pastors, and I knew his dad. But I believe God has put us in a community, a neighborhood. And it's funny because one of the first things, questions I got, because we still have people that ride motorcycles to our church, are they going to be okay with us in that neighborhood? I'm like, well, as long as you don't drive your motorcycle like a fool. But I believe God's put us in that community, that neighborhood, to be a light in that community. And I was really trying to think of what it would look like. And this is kind of like what I come up with. I want to be an outpost for the Lord, okay? Because what happens, people come and go, just like the vision here. You bring people in, you trade people, you get them what they need, you equip them, and then they go back out, okay? And it's a large north side of town. It's a big side of town over there. So this is what I envision, you know, is we want people to be equipping them, impacting the community, and advancing the kingdom of God. That's what we all should be doing right there. It's just become more bold, more faith-driven, equipping people with spiritual weapons. Okay, so they can come in, they can be refueled, they get re-equipped, and then they can be deployed. When you do outreaches and things like that, to start changing the community, start changing the environment around you for the better.
That's just the Great Commission.
It right. Is. Amen.
Yeah. And it's beautiful, and I love that. That's so manly. I like that. So manly. Yeah. That's the vision. That's the vision, and I believe God's going to do it, right? And so we all have a vision God's given everyone, right? And I was recently at this Multipliers retreat. I got invited to go to it because I successfully launched one church out of my church, so I was an expert. And so I'm like, why am I here? I got the invitation, I come, and there's all these church pastors that with much, much larger churches. This guy's like 5,000 and he's from Hawaii and they've like launched 500 churches. And there was another guy, his launching church is multi-site. And I was invited. I'm like, why am I here? I've watched. We just kind of did what God asked us to do. And while I was there, God reignited that vision in my heart for what he asked us to do years ago when we planted Waterhouse Church in this existing church. And that was to send people and plant churches in communities that don't have a gospel representation. And in Texas, there's a lot of churches, right? But they're kind of all centered and clustered in one area. And there's forgotten communities that don't have a whole lot of representation. And so I've been asking the Lord, Lord, where do you want us to go as a church? Where do you want us to go plant? Where do you want us to send people? And right now, the call deep in my heart and also a lot of the people in the church is west, out to the communities out west. And at that Multipliers retreat, we sat and we prayed and we had a picture of North Texas. I don't know if you have that picture or not. Oh, you straightened it out for me. Thanks. Last service, it was this way. And so this is North Texas, big area, huge area. And most of those guys were from I-35 corridor, so there's a lot of pins kind of that area around them. I was the only guy, like, out west. And I said, Lord, where do you want us to go? And we prayed that. And so I just grabbed some pins. I said, Lord, where do we stick these? And three communities came up in my brain, in my mind. One was Pister, one was Brock, and the other one was Gordon. And so it's like, God, like, why do you want us to go to these places? Because they need the gospel. You know, Pister's growing like crazy, Brock's growing like crazy. Gordon, not so much. God said, Gordon, I don't know why but it's growing out that way too. But there's people there that need Jesus. And so this is where we're leading as a church. Like we're gonna get this done and we're gonna put some kind of gospel representation. And we're starting it right now, even with the pop-ups we did on Good Friday. That was with a purpose. Number one, it reminded you like, hey, we got to get outside of our walls. And we can go into the community and do something simple that's effective. And so even beginning, we may do these little pop-ups in these areas. This is getting out and touching people's lives with that. And so this is what God's called us to do. And we can't do it alone. He can't build this thing alone because it's not about BJ. Like, God has asked this church to go build a well out there, but he can't be the only one digging. And like I told him, he's like, I'll come talk to your church about this. Like, I'll get them stirred up, right? You can't do everything. It takes the whole church to dig these wells of a revival in these communities. And so I told BJ, I'm like, I'm going to have you come. We're going to do this housewarming, and I want you to ask for things. I want you to ask for money unapologetically, and I want you to ask for people unapologetically. And I told him, it's like, I have people I can give you. Yeah, we kind of joked, you know. He's like, we could do a trade, you know. No. But we're open-handed, always have been, always will be. And it hurts when people leave. But if they leave for the right reasons, it's always good. And if God calls you to go, that's the right reasons. And maybe there's something in your heart that as he's talking and sharing this vision, that God's saying, maybe you need to go help them. And when you go help, God's going to open up a new vision in your life. There's really three things that draw people either away from the church or to a new thing. And you may be sitting in here and you're wondering, maybe I'm called to go out. Maybe I'm called to the mission field. Maybe I'm called to be a pastor. Maybe I'm just called to go help another church. And it's burning in your heart. There's three voices that talk to you in that moment. One is the voice of the Lord. And when he calls you, you just know you can't get away from it. It's like every time you try to not think about it, the Lord stirs in your heart. It's scary. You're terrified. But on the other end of that, you're also like excited about the possibility. Good chance that's from the Lord. Then there's other two voices when you think about leaving. One is your flesh. This is when you're disappointed, you're angry, you're envious, you're jealous, you're mad. This is why you're like, maybe God's calling me to go there. Well, because you're disgruntled. Don't leave because of that. Like, come talk to leadership, come talk to somebody, or go talk to the Lord about it, right? Okay, and then there's the other one, there's the enemy. The enemy tries to get you to not go because he knows that when you go, you're going to be effective. And so if it's the Lord, you'll know it's from the Lord. Otherwise, you just need to ask the Lord. And so, BJ, with that, unapologetically, what do you need people-wise?
So y'all seen the picture of where the church sits in a community. And literally within just blocks of that church is just, I don't know how many hundreds of homes are within 4 or 5 block radius. So we need leaders. We need leaders. And I would say we've been comfortable on Sundays evenings. We've been comfortable on Sunday evenings. We get a few small kids that come in. We have a couple of youth that come in. But we really are not set with programs for those kids. Because Sunday evenings mainly have just been adults, if you think about it. Because everybody else, if you're on Sunday and you have kids, you're getting your kids ready for bed and school and stuff on Monday. So we need leaders from the ground up. And when I say we're starting from the ground up in these areas, from nursery to children's ministry to youth ministry. I envision, and I was talking to someone after the first service, that in that neighborhood, we're close enough to so many houses that youth could literally walk on a Wednesday night to come to church. If their parents will not take them, we're close enough where they could walk to church and come and have a service of their own on a Wednesday night. I mean, that's my heart, because when you start touching the youth, you really start touching, like it's been said, you get the kids. You get the kids coming, the parents will eventually start coming. Amen? So that's my heart. We need nursery, children, and youth. And, you know, media, we need everything. Everything. Everything.
Everything, yeah. Yeah. He needs workers, but he needs leaders.
Amen.
He needs someone that's going to establish his ministries, someone that can go in and from the ground up, this is like grassroots, from the ground up, build something beautiful in that community. And maybe you feel called to that. You've been sitting, I even told Rodney, he's like, hey, tell the people over in Kids Church. Like, if they feel called to talk to BJ, and maybe you need to go with them unapologetically. Because, like, again, it's not about us. If all of you decide after this Sunday you're going to go with Iron Faith, I'm not worried about it. Because God brings. He gives, and we give. It's not about me. It's not about the kingdom. It's not about the house. It's not about the house. It's about the kingdom.
Amen.
And maybe you're dealing here, because here's the thing. Like, this is second service, so we got a little time. I'm just going to put some wisdom into you, okay? Somebody said this to me a long time ago, and it helped me, because I was really struggling with the call of God in my life, because I was so loyal to the house. I was loyal to the pastor, and I felt like I was letting him down, like I was betraying him, because I felt God had called me to church planting. And so I started pursuing that, or I actually did not pursue it for a long time, because I thought, like, I'm not being loyal to the house. And I talked to this wise person, this wise pastor. He said, Neil, you've got it mixed up. It's good to be loyal to the house, but first you're loyal to the kingdom.
Man.
And sometimes we got our loyalties mixed up. Like, loyalty to the house is great. Like, that's good. But first you're loyal to the kingdom. Be loyal to the kingdom. If the king says, hey, you're not part of that house, which will always be a part of our house, but if you're not, I want you to go to this place, these people, and reach them, it doesn't mean you're being disloyal to what God's doing here. As actuality, you're being obedient to what God's called you to be.
Man.
And when I got that, I started stepping out, and that's when things started moving. So don't be loyal to the house, be loyal to the kingdom. And when you're loyal to the kingdom, all that will take care of itself. And so don't let that stop you. If you come to me and say, Pastor Neil, I love you, but I feel called to go with Iron Faith. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to pray for you. I may cry, but it'll be tears of joy, because you're doing what God's called you to do. And that's just so exciting.
Man.
Okay, so 2 asks. One was people, and here's the money, right?
Money.
Yeah, so here's the financial things. Like, again, the city did not donate plants or trees.
No.
They did not donate asphalt or concrete for the parking lot and the curb. It takes money to do that, right? And so I guess tell us the story of how you got the facility, because I don't think you told us in this one yet.
No, we haven't.
Yeah. How you got it, because it was priced at $350 right. is what they wanted for it. And he gave them a crazy offer, and they took it. And so just tell them that story before you go into the ask okay. for all the other.
So like Neil said, I've received a phone call, and the guy says, hey, this old church has closed down on the north side of town. It's for sale by owner. And so I said, well, text me the number. So he sends me the number. So I call, and we were able to meet with the pastor that was a pastor of the church out there, and we talked, and we walked around, and we prayed. And so he told me what they were wanting. They were wanting $350,000. It's almost an acre in the city. Both buildings, each building's rough. One building's 3,600 square foot. The other one's 3,200 square foot, but needs to be remodeled completely. So we come back, we talk about it, the board talks about it, we have a meeting, and they're like, well, what do we offer? And so when you want to talk about people thinking you're crazy, I had a number in my head, and that number was $200,000. So that's $150,000 less than what they were asking for it. And people in my own congregation were like, that's crazy. They're going to laugh at you when you say that. You're almost going, I was told I was going to offend them. And I said, well, we'll find out how serious they are. That's where I looked at it. It's like, all they can say is no, right? Come back with an offer that's way more than what I offered. I mean, wasn't going to hurt my feelings, none. And so I sent the pastor an email. And so what I did, though, in that email, I put, by this time we'd already done a little research on what the city was going to require us to do. And so we had a pretty good tally of what that was going to cost, and it was going to cost in the upper hand of around $100,000 total. So I just explained that in my email to the pastor, like, hey, here's our offer. And not to slap you in the face, and I didn't say that, but basically I put in there, this is why. This is why. And I got a response back less than 24 hours back, that said, we accept your offer. And I was like, wow. And then I didn't tell you this earlier, but then I had a lady come up once we brought this back to our church, back to Iron Faith, told them, and a lady goes, that was the number the Lord had given me. So we serve a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. A little secret. He knows better than we do. Amen. He knows. He knows. So when something seems crazy, but that's what God's laid on your heart, and it's truly from God, it'll work out. It'll work out.
So financially, what do you need? Like, how much of all this, these, how much is this all going to cost?
So real quick, like the parking lot's around $40,000-$50,000, and that's with us getting people that we know to do some of the work and stuff. Yeah. I have no idea what 5 trees cost and 250 plants and whatever that inquires.
They're $1,000 a piece.
What? Anybody own any land? We will come dig a tree up, okay? I'm just saying, not scared. But I know, like, the curb and gutter they're making us do on the Main Street Tremont there, we've been told we possibly are going to have to do that. That's anywhere from $8,000 to $15,000 to do. So then the building, we have the main sanctuary building that just needs a little loving, a little painting, a little updating to it. Needs sound equipment. When I say we're buying the bare bones, imagine this building with nothing on the platform. That's what our platform looks like, empty. So sound equipment, I've told, can cost anywhere from $25,000-$30,000 between sound and media equipment and stuff like that, because we do online services also. What else did I leave? Anything? Oh, the second building. That's the building. So they were going to tear this building down. Okay? They were going to tear it down because they didn't need it. We need it. We need that building. We need that other 3,400 square foot to put kids in on Sunday. But that building is completely, it needs to be completely remodeled before we can even open it up. I mean, basically, we've already boarded up one broken window that has been was left open for however long. It's a completely needs a complete makeover, pretty much. It needs a whole new flooring in it, stuff like that. It's basically, they were told us it was the original church from the 70s. So it needs a whole new makeup, because with the city, it would be easier and cheaper for us to remodel that building than to tear it down and try to build a whole new structure there. So, I mean, we figure we're in it for another, for $100,000 or so to get everything done that we want done.
Okay. And so the two you have now, you borrowed.
Yes, okay. We did.
And so you need some money.
We need money.
Yeah, unfortunately, you know, I've called the city a few times. They won't give us free electricity or, you know, things like that. It costs, you know, unfortunately, it does cost to run a church, right? And you want to help people, but you can't help people if you can't help yourself. And so,
Amen. And so
I know they're going to do an amazing thing there. And so I'm going to one last question before we take up an offering and also ask people if they want to join you. How could you encourage those who feel called by God to do something for the kingdom?
If you feel like you've been called at some point, some time in your life, I don't care. I tell people all the time. If you're still breathing, you're still standing upright, no matter what your age is, how young or how old, God still has something for you to do. He still has work for you to do. Okay? He has work. And if he's placed it on your heart to do it, do it. One thing that we did when we first started this motorcycle ministry adventure church launch, I personally sowed into another motorcycle ministry, to another biker church. And like Neil, I don't know why, they asked me a couple years ago to come up to Indiana and speak at one of their conferences they were doing. I was like, and I knew some of the people that were going to be there, the headliners. And I'm like, why me, Lord? What do I have? Best time of my life, though, going up there and just being obedient. And so I would say, there's a lot of promises in the Bible. Hopefully you want to claim each and every one of those promises that is for you to claim, that God has promised you. Be obedient to the Lord, and he'll be obedient to you. If he sends you, if he's laid it on your heart to do it, and you'll be rewarded for it. I mean, we joke, probably Pastor Neil does too. We always tell people, your reward's in heaven. We tell people all the time that, yeah, your reward's in heaven. That's so true, though. But when you're obedient to God, you'll be so much happier. You won't have near as much stress in your life because you're trying to run from God instead of running towards him. And he'll just bless you so much more if you're just obedient to him.
That's good. Would y'all stand? Another worship team come up. We're going to take an offering up. So for Iron Faith, the chair in front of you has a QR code. On that, it's going to say give to Iron Faith. So what you guys give today, it's just going straight to that congregation. We're not touching it as a church because, again, it's not our. I don't want to come next week and say, guess what? We gave this much money last week. It's not about us. It's about what God does through you. And so you can give online there. Also, at Iron Faith, they have these two buckets up here that they take up an offering every Sunday morning. And so if you have cash or check or feel led to give in that way, please put that in there. They have the board members here, so they'll take care of that. You'll get a giving statement if you need that at the end of the year, just like anybody else. It is an organized church, legal in the state of Texas. And so we want to give to that. But I'm just going to ask you right now two things. How much should we give? Lord, how much do you want me to sow into this ministry? And maybe right now it's a famine for you, and you don't have much. But give obediently. I'm not asking money for my church, so it's easy to ask for money for others, because I believe in what God's doing in their church. And so, Father, I just pray that you would just put on everyone's heart how much to give toward this endeavor. And God, that they have enough, that they won't have to borrow another penny. And God, they have more than enough that they wouldn't have to borrow hardly any of that that they've already been pledged to borrow. And God, I thank you for that. The second thing is, do you feel called to go? Maybe as he's saying these needs, you're like, man, I think the Lord wants me to go. You want to talk to BJ. Get his number. He'll give it to you. And talk to him. Better yet, come tonight. They have service at 5 o'clock. Come see what God's doing. And maybe that'll lead your heart to say, I'm going to help. I'm going to invest. I'm going to sow seed here with myself. So ask the Lord what he wants to do right now. So I'm going to pray, and then you're going to give. And then we're going to speak a blessing over BJ and his household. And some of his leaders are here too. So we didn't do the first service, but we want to just take time to bless them. So Father, I pray right now for everyone that gives, Lord, that it would be in abundance, that be more than enough. And God, what is given would stretch. And God, I thank you for this opportunity to give toward this kingdom work. And Lord, I pray for everyone in here right now that feels called to go, that you would let them go without fear or fear of letting anybody down. God, it's into your kingdom, not ours. And we love you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So go and bring your offerings. We're going to bring your offering, and then we're going to close with prayer. Get all those who are in leadership at Iron Faith. We're going to come down to the front here. We're going to pray over you and bless you. So they're coming. Their worship leader, several board members, a lot of the leadership is here, and sweet Karen, BJ's wife. Y'all just extend your hands toward this church family. God, we bless Iron Faith right now. God, I pray that as they stand on that hill, that it is a city lit, that people would come for miles to go to that building, to go through these people, to find the hope of faith. God, I pray that you would send more of these people, like this gentleman that gave his life, that was on the verge of giving up on life and everything else, God, that they would find hope through you. God, I pray that when times get hard and times get tough, when Egypt seems so close and so good, God, that BJ and this church would not give up. God, that we keep pushing forward, keep moving into the kingdom that you've called them to take. God, we thank you for that, God. We thank you for this opportunity to have this building. God, I pray that they would have everything they need as they get into it. And God, I pray that they would also plant out of that. God, that they would multiply. God, that they would grow. And God, that generations would be affected by this. God, we thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for BJ. We thank you for Karen. We thank you for the leadership. God, bless them. Give them wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. So good to have you here this morning. We close out every week with this last prayer. You go put it up on the screen. This is what we're called to do. This is part of it. We pray this together. You ready? Jesus, we come to you, the precious cornerstone and foundation of our faith. Let us be your living stones built up into your house, holy, called, anointed, and unified. You have made us priests called to stand in intercession for our families, our community, and the world. Help us rebuild the altars of prayer and service to make spiritual sacrifices that are pleasing and acceptable to you. In the holy and precious name of Jesus, amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Have a great week.